Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
We've had a look at the international scene, but what about the local scene? Well, I thought, why don't we turn around to Mansoor Imam and let's find out from him what's been happening in South Africa and around the world over the last week since we last spoke. So do we have Mansoor on the line? We're still busy getting him. There have been interesting developments happening in South Africa. We've had the newest alliance happening this week. The Allied Movement for Change. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. From a very nice, beautiful day in Durban. Just arrived here last night.
We've had some lovely rain in Johannesburg.
I see that. Yeah. Cape Town is very confusing because in the day it appears to be very cold, and at some stage and an hour later it's extremely hot. You don't even know how to dress for the weather in the Western Cape, particularly.
But it's like that every single day in Cape Town, you know.
Yeah, four seasons in one day.
Yes. Yes, very much so.
Not unusual to travel 10 kilometers in spite of the weather is different. It can't get done, yeah.
Mansoor, I thought just to open up, we could discuss this week. You had some political organizations in South Africa launching called the Allied Movement for Change. Do you know much about them?
Well, I am Allied Movement for Change. I'm the president of Allied Movement
yes.
for Change.
Yes. Yes, so tell us.
Yes, we can talk about that, yeah.
Yes, let's talk about that.
Okay.
A whole lot of small parties coming together, trying to combine your power to mobilize?
Different organizations like the COI and SAN, you know, and many others that have come together to say, let's work together in the interest of the people that we serve. And, you know, I've been with the NFP, and they continuously been fighting amongst themselves for the last 6 years, running to court every week. You know, that certainly can't deliver to the people on the ground. If you can't sort your own problems out, how do you sort the problems of the country out? You know?
Yeah, they've also got those kind of like links, like they, you know, they used to be the IFP, but now they're the NFP. And those kind of like links and things, they just don't seem to be able to leave them behind.
Yeah, I think the understanding and interpretation of what politics is about is a problem in the country. Mm-hmm. Anybody can just go out there, go and set up political parties, know nothing about it, you know, get a seat or two, enrich themselves. That's basically what it is all about. It's not about whether they fit for purpose.
Yes.
And I think at some stage, we need to deal with those issues. There has to be some criteria, because otherwise, you know, it's like kind of a business that people are entering into. And yet, yeah, you're dealing with people's lives, you know.
Yes.
So I think that there's a lot of work to do 30 years into democracy. We need to go have a relook at the constitution of the country. For starters, and you know, I want to also talk, and I think we should be talking and elaborating on this issue of we have a three-sphere government: national, provincial, and local.
Mm.
We've now also got the district development model, and so it's now almost leading to a four-tier government rather than reducing it to a two-tier government. Because provincial government, for me, is just a waste of taxpayers' money.
Yeah.
And a lot of money goes into provincial.
Yeah. The National Province of Council of the Provinces, it just doesn't seem to follow any functionals at all. It's almost like the Senate used to be under the old system, under the British in the 1950s.
Yes. You know, I was having a chat with Justice Nicholson. You'll know him very well. He was sitting next to me on a flight when we were coming from Cape Town last night. And these are some of the things we were discussing. He was so concerned about the state of the country, where it is heading to. He spoke about these provincial governments as well, something that I've raised many a time, that maybe we need to have a relook. I have been calling for a district model, but expecting us to do away with even the local one and have just the national and district. I mean, every small municipality is governed on its own when it could have been governed by a district, you know, and reduce your administration. 60 to 70% of your monies are going on administration. And what is being stolen and embezzled, there's hardly anything really going to the delivery of services. Mm. That's what we're doing. It's not only about administration. You need the money to deliver these goods on the ground. There's no money to deliver the goods because it's going in the wrong direction. So I think that is very important for us to consider that. And I think it's an agenda that needs to be pushed forward, because this is just about deployment of people and employment of people rather than delivering services. You can't have your budget of 60 to 70% going on administration in a country. It's ridiculous.
You know, Mansoor, one of my criticisms about the ANC is that it's a cannibal party.
Right.
Now, I'm sure it's a cannibal party, because each new administration that comes in under new leadership wants to eat the administration, the previous administration. Yeah. So, like this disaster, in actual fact, first started when Cyril Ramaphosa took over. You know, I was working for a public relations company. We went off to Bujanala, Platinum District, Rustenburg. We were doing the Bujanala Platinum District. The provincial, we're supposed to be handling the provincial side of public relations.
Okay.
And everyone there was dead scared. The local governor, the local municipality guys, they knew. They're Mbekiites, and they're going to be replaced by Zumaites. On the regional level, exactly the same thing was happening. And what happened was you had... Under Mbeki, prior to Zuma coming in, you'd had 14 years of continuity, preparations, people putting things together. And even if there was corruption, there were buddies and there were contract fees being signed and all that kind of stuff, nevertheless, there was continuity happening. That all ended when Zuma came in.
Yeah.
Zuma put his guys in power. Then when Cyril Ramaphosa came in, Ramaphosa put his guys in.
Yeah.
And it's been illustrated by our nuclear power station deals. Mbeki came with a nuclear power station deal that he dreamed up while on holiday one year, 2008, I think it was, when we had our first load sheddings. Then when Mbeki was kicked out, Zuma suddenly popped up with a nuclear deal. And then when Zuma was kicked out, now Ramaphosa, and under Ramaphosa, there's another new nuclear deal that's supposedly been spoken. But every time it gets shot down, it doesn't go anywhere.
That is a serious problem. You've got the instability that you create by doing these things. And you are correct. There's no continuity. And so those that are there, in the short space of time with the uncertainty, they are very tempted to say, well, let's make it while we can.
Yeah.
Because we don't know what's going to happen in 4 years' time or 3 years' time or whatever it is. That's the other problem we face. But I can tell you that the ANC has handled its internal problems very poorly, given the risks attached to that, the fact that they were, for the first time since CAA, losing their majority. To such an extent that they might even lose control of the country. You know, they have gone about it the wrong way. But I've learned something, and particularly it stems from KwaZulu-Natal, that if I don't get what I want, I can rather destroy the entire organization, but if I don't get it, nobody must get it.
Yeah.
That's the difficulty that I have as far as the KwaZulu-Natal politics particularly. And you can see The ANC's problems are stemming from KwaZulu-Natal. The IFP's got problems in KwaZulu. The NFP's got problems in KwaZulu-Natal. The DA's problems started in KwaZulu-Natal. Mm. They brought it on. All the problems stem from KwaZulu-Natal, to be honest with you. And they are quite a large voting bloc in any event.
All roads lead to Ulundi.
Ulundi. That's mm. the problem. And unless, you know, the people start putting more emphasis on the other provinces, the political landscape in South Africa wouldn't change for the better. Mm. There is too much. And then the other problem you've got in KwaZulu-Natal particularly, there is a sense of entitlement, you know. And remember, KwaZulu-Natal is a very violent province.
Yes.
You're not able to sit at the table and negotiate and engage and that kind of thing. I mean, I just heard yesterday how a councillor for a party in KwaZulu-Natal went on an impact, a visit to a particular site,
mm-hmm.
and 10 minutes later he was dead. Why? Because he just took over another councillor's position and he's dead and gone. So, you know, this is it. So in KwaZulu-Natal, politics is really very, very, very difficult.
Yeah.
And police have not been able to they've never succeeded in dealing with these political killings. And even if they do make arrests and whatever it is, the levels of corruption, the levels of interference and things is what's causing a serious problem to get people to hold them accountable for their conduct.
I know that this might be a sensitive question to ask you as a politician, but if all the politicians get rid of all the politicians, might that not also be a solution for the country?
Say that again, sir.
If all the politicians get rid of all the politicians.
Yeah. Well, you know, for me, and that is why I say, I think it's time to go back to the drawing board.
Mm-hmm.
We boast of having one of the finest constitutions in the world. Is it working for South Africa?
I know. Yeah.
It's not working for South Africa right now. We are going down here. Perhaps we need to do away with political party systems and let the people decide, you know,
on an individual basis.
Let the country and its people elect who the president is.
Hmm.
You know, perhaps that's the route we need to go, because then what would happen is that people, you know, will be elected by the community. If they don't perform, the communities must have a role to play in removing them.
Mm.
But when it comes to political parties decide who the candidate, who the representative will be.
Yeah.
And many people are getting in not because they are fit for purpose. They're getting in because of the political party that they belong to.
Yes.
Or they get in because of the leaders of that political party. You know, that's the other reason why they came. But not because they are really fit for purpose, they can serve the people. No, they're not. On the other hand, yes, there are people that will be in political parties, and people will want them and go to that party because of it. But very limited, to be honest. Very mm-hmm. limited. So mm-hmm. the political party system, for me, not really. It's not working anywhere in Africa, if you really look at it. Not anywhere in Africa.
Do you think there's room for perhaps clans, traditional power structures, modernize them? A bit like, if you think about the Bafokeng, the Bafokeng tribe in Rustenburg. They've organized themselves on a business basis. They've got themselves mineral rights. They've got their king and traditional houses providing a kind of like a charity organization. People who are part of the tribe get benefits as a result of their leaders 100 years ago deciding to buy up land in the tribe's name. Do you think that there might be a role for tribes to perhaps extended families to start playing a bigger role in South Africa?
Absolutely. I think religion, culture, tradition has a pivotal role to play in society. And I think that's where we need to also go back. Now, I know many people will oppose this view, but is it not as a result of deviating from our tradition, our religion, our culture, that we find ourselves in this so-called colonialist philosophy of democracy, which is not working for us?
Mm. We dressed up in strangers' clothes.
Sorry?
We dressed up in the strangers' clothes. We've got a party political.
And the so-called democracy that you're talking, how much that is protect those people that are right? It gives more protection to those people that are wrong.
Mm.
It gives more protection to the criminals than it does to the victims. You know, it's being abused to a very large extent, and I believe it was imposed on us because they know democracy will cause havoc in society, and it is causing havoc. I mean, it's the same thing when you talk about the introduction of abortion and LGBTIQ communities and all these things. Democratic rights, you know. So these are the things that is being introduced into society to cause mayhem and chaos.
We need organic identity to establish itself.
Yes. On the other hand, we also got to be mindful of the fact that not all traditional leaders and things, or the system of traditional leaders, is not necessarily working all over. If you look at the chaos in KwaZulu-Natal, and if you look at the hold that they have over the people, the Zulu nation, that's another problem that we need to face.
Mm.
And we need to also ask ourselves, do they actually have the confidence of the people themselves? Now, you know, in the area of Bafokeng that you're talking about, that is unique. It's working. It's successful. Mm. But KwaZulu-Natal is chaos. And the problem in KZN is that you've got the Zuma clan that's going for the Zulu nation. You've got the Buthelezi clan going for the Zulu nation. And people do know the significant role that they play in politics as a result of their numbers.
Mm.
But politicians are using this. I'll give you a good example. Look at the people who live in the Ngonyama Trust land.
Mm-hmm.
They have no rights over that land. They can't go and borrow. They can't even go and, you know, just, they're limited to so many things. However, because of the hold that those leaders who have aligned themselves to the king and things like that, and the traditional leaders based on the fact that they want their support base, you understand the people get oppressed.
Mm.
So the people really of KwaZulu-Natal, I mean, just look into the development. There is hardly any development in traditional land. There's hardly anything. And people are comfortable. They're not comfortable because they want to be comfortable. People are afraid of wanting to speak out because the next thing, you know, KwaZulu that tells you here, tomorrow you're gone. And that's how they operate.
Yeah,
so people, I can tell you that in 10 years, 20 years, people will rise against traditional leaders that are not acting in their best interest. On the other hand, look at the first indigenous nation, the Khoi and San, how they've been neglected in this country, marginalized in this country. Nobody really cares. And that is as a result of them being divided because everybody there wants to be a chief, a paramount chief, direct bloodline, they will tell you.
Mm.
And that and government taking them for granted until, of course, they rise. And the day they rise, Western Cape and Eastern Cape, Northern Cape, and remember, they've had their footprint in all parts of South Africa before anybody came, the Ngunis and the whites and Indians, everybody came. They've had a footprint all over. But, you know, they have been taken for granted. And also because of the fact that they are divided. I give you a good of the NKC, which was introduced by former President Mandela, is still in existence today with no process of electing leaders to represent this First Nation in government. They have just going on and on and on, a law unto themselves. Now, that must change. Because how do you represent the people if you're not elected or nominated or appointed by the people that you're supposed to represent. It's just going on and on and on. And what do? They act in their own interest rather than the interest of the Koi nation. And that is why you would find there's been no progress whatsoever when you talk about the first indigenous nation.
And of course, the problem with traditional leaders is so many of them have been co-opted by mining companies and have sold their nation's mining rights out.
The new bill even makes it worse. It gives these powers to these traditional leaders and things, you know, to go and negotiate and do them. But to benefit who? If the community is benefiting. So, you know, until such time we deal with these things, the lives of the people on the ground will not change. I mean, take KwaZulu-Natal, ideal example. People are still walking 8 kilometers to go and fetch water.
Yeah.
They're still working from water tankers rather than dealing with water. You know, and why? Because of corruption and because of the money that you make out of it. You know, and you'll find that all these water tanker companies and things are all linked to politicians and officials. So there's no progress, but people will still come back and vote for the same people. And more importantly, after voting for the same people, you understand? They will come and protest when nothing is being done. But they'll go back and they're going to vote for them.
They won't get running water, but they will get a T-shirt. They won't get running water, but they will get a T-shirt.
Definitely T-shirt. And once every election, they get a food parcel. What they're forgetting that the T-shirt and the food parcel came from their money. That is what they forget. How many of members, which community have you seen them? That is going and demanding in their local authority to see who is getting all the tenders, what prices they are paying for it, who is benefiting. They're not interested in doing that. And in politics, you know, they say you must keep these people poor and uneducated. The longer you keep them poor and uneducated, they'll come back and vote for you and support you. But the day you give them that quality education like Mugabe gave them in Zimbabwe, you understand? Well, the day you give them that quality education and you give them everything, they don't need you. They will rise. They won't need you. So what is the principle of politics? Keep you there so that you'll keep coming back. And that's why nothing has changed in the lives of the people. Nothing.
Let's discuss the DA and Gaza and the elections. Do you think the DA could emerge as the next de facto government?
Well, I can tell you first of all that Moonshot Pact, you know, has not really gained momentum. There's been very big differences between the different political parties. They don't see eye to eye. I've attended some of those meetings in the beginning to get a clear indication of where this was going. They went, every time they went one step forward, they went 4 steps backward, or 5 steps backward. They were not in agreement with a whole lot of things because, remember, a lot of those political parties that are part of them have all been breakaways from the DA, or, I mean, one was, Action SA is from the DA, Musi Maimane is from the DA, The other guy, you know, there was a fallout with the personal issue.
Patricia DeLille, Independent Democrats.
You know, so that's the other. So they were not really, you know, going. So the personal issues were also affecting that. But the DA is not, in my personal view, the DA is going to lose support in this election without any doubt. However, now they have this Action SA and these others that are being funded by the Zionists. In order to have a regime change in South Africa. The problem you got there is, had the MK and the ANC not split, you would not have that problem. The MK will make a dent if they do contest the election. If they don't, well, you know there'll be bloodshed. But if they do contest the election, they're going to make a massive dent. I'm working out that the ANC will get about 37% in this election. That's how bad I think it is.
That's how... 37%, sure. Sorry,
yeah.
And the MK?
The MK is saying they are The only reason they've gone the route they have, and they don't need to, they are literally ANC. Cyril Ramaphosa must step down, and they have no problem. That is basically what they are saying. Now, you know, the president was going to step down after Palapala, and some of his colleagues said, no, he mustn't step down. Of course, they could have also said that for their own selfish interest and benefit. But they find themselves in a situation right now that if Cyril Ramaphosa does not step down, they're going to have serious problems in terms of their numbers.
Mm-hmm.
A large percentage of their people are not coming back to parliament from the ANC. They've already resigned themselves to the fact, and they've already gone and had discussions about, you know, issues of benefits and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So the MK has got a stronghold in KwaZulu-Natal, but also making a footprint in other, like Gauteng and Mpumalanga and, you know, areas. And they are going to the length and breadth of the country they're known. I don't believe they will get significant votes in the rest of the country other than KwaZulu-Natal. But a very sizable number in KwaZulu-Natal, which simply means that the ANC can lose KwaZulu-Natal particularly. And in losing KwaZulu-Natal simply means that they can lose support for the national, which means that there's going to be a need for coalition government. And then the question arises, who are you going to work with? I am advised that I've learned reliably, though, that they are in serious discussions with the EFF at the moment, even though some structures of them, like the MK, in a conference last year, said that they have taken a decision that they'll never work with the EFF.
Mm-hmm.
But now the ANC is saying that they will work with the EFF. Remember, the MK were under EFF, yes. ANC when they...
So it might force the MK to change as well.
Yeah.
Mm.
So my problem with the MK, sir, is this. Can we trust them to the extent that they won't be influenced by the Zionists? It's all about money and power.
Mm.
Now, the Western Cape is another dynamic. I don't believe the DA is going to get their majority. If they do succeed, it can only be through coalition government. But I can tell you there are many forces that are coming together to oppose the DA in the Western Cape.
Mm.
Hopefully, including the Allied Movement for Change, the AM4C, which I am the leader of,
mm-hmm.
You understand, and yes, in fact, even yesterday we've recruited, brought on board a very influential member of the community of the Western Cape, and he'll make significant contribution. So we are hoping that with that and all the other political parties, we might be able to just pull it off and take it away from the Democratic Alliance. But remember, the DA has got the ACDP there, which is the Christian Party.
Mm-hmm.
It has also got the Action SA, haven't made significant inroads.
Mm.
They've got the PA. While the Cape Coloured Congress or the National Coloured Congress, now I don't believe that they may support them. But I think what is very important is this, that the Muslim community, particularly in the Western Cape, must vote with their head, with their mind, with their heart, and vote for the political party that is, you know, going to take and protect the interests, particularly of the Muslim community in the Western Cape, failing which you're going to play into the hands of the Zionists. And you can already see what is going on.
Mm-hmm.
Estate agents are landing here shortly to selling land and making it into a Zionist state. Large tracts of land, which rightfully belongs to the first indigenous nation, is being disposed of. National government has no control over it. So there's a whole lot that's going on. If you look at the gentrification...
Would the DA end our association with BRICS?
Certainly, I think they will. Definitely, in fact, to be honest with you, I think they will give up all these things. Because remember, They are pro the West,
of course,
and they will follow the policies of the United States of America, UK, and the others, France, Germany, and the others. And of course, they will be highly influenced by the Zionist state of Israel. Remember that the DA is a former national party. National
of
party
course.
apartheid government, worked with the Israeli government, tried to break our sanctions and everything. So that will continue. They will strengthen their relationship. And once they take over, it's going to be very difficult to get it back. You saw the ANC losing Western Cape, and now it's been deteriorating over a period of time. They're not going to be able to get it back. So that's why they have to pull out all stops right now to prevent that from happening.
Okay.
But I'm hopeful, inshallah, that we'll be able to achieve that.
Inshallah. Mansoor, we've come up to the end, up to the top of the hour. Jazakumallah for joining us, for the insightful comments. Inshallah, we'll speak again next week. May Allah Ta'ala make your week a productive and happy one for you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.